now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the church. There may be a Bible Answers study group near you. Would you like to attend? If so, write to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ed, I have a letter from a listener. She wants to know, and I quote, which denomination is the true church? Or do all denominations together add up to the true Christian church? And again, she asks, is there any hope of salvation for anyone who is not a church member? And then she asks, what does the word church mean? But first, may I tell our listeners that this discussion comes from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, let us talk about the Christian church.
The word church in the Bible is a translation of a Greek word which means a calling out or a selection. Jesus said it to his disciples, I have chosen you out of the world. In other words, the church is a company of people who, in accepting Jesus' invitation to follow him, have become separated from the world.
The word church appears many times in the New Testament, doesn't it?
It does. For instance, it appears in the second chapter of Acts, verse 47. The text simply states that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved.
Ed, how did the Lord add members to his church?
Believers were simply called upon to repent and to be baptized.
Was that baptism immersion in water?
Yes, and it illustrated that the one thus baptized had made a full surrender of himself to do God's will, that his will was buried immersed into the divine will. All who, through faith in Christ, took this step of full devotion to the will of God were considered members of the church. There was nothing to join, no church membership rolls, and no pledges to make.
Ed, the text you quoted says that God added the members to the church. Again, just what does that mean?
Jesus said that no man can come to him except he be drawn by the Heavenly Father. God's drawing power is through the gospel which reveals his marvelous love. It is in response to this drawing power of divine love that a person is led to surrender himself to the divine will and thus be counted one of the called out ones from the world.
In other words, to gain social standing or to improve one's business are not motives recognized by God as making one worthy of membership in his church.
You may put it that way if you wish. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples that in the world they would have tribulation. Those who take up their cross and follow Jesus do not hope that they will thereby reap material benefits.
But certainly those early believers were held together by some organizational means, I'm sure.
No, not really. They were held together by what a familiar Christian hymn speaks of as the blessed tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. This love was, first of all, for God and for his Son Christ Jesus, and this became a mutual love.
But they did meet together as congregations.
Oh, yes, and each local group was called a church. The Bible speaks, for example, of the church at Jerusalem, the church at Corinth, and so forth. Each of these congregations was independent of the others. There was no central church control. The church at Rome, we're informed, held its meeting in the home of two of its members, Priscilla and Aquila.
Ed, that is interesting. Did the congregations in other cities meet in the homes of their believers?
Yes, one reason for this was, of course, that to begin with, the congregations were small. The point is, though, that the meeting place is not the church. It is not the building that sanctifies the worshipers. God accepts the worship and praise of his people regardless of the place in which these devotions are poured out to him.
And the various individual groups attached no other name to themselves other than the church or the called ones.
That's right, except, of course, the name of the city where each group was located.
Did each of these local congregations have its own head?
No, they all recognized the one head, which was Christ. This was in harmony with Jesus' instructions, "All ye are brethren, and one is your master, even Christ." And the Apostle Paul wrote that Christ is the head of the church.
And the Bible says something about the church being the body of Christ. Then Christ is the head, and the church members are the body.
Paul uses the human body to illustrate the relationship between Jesus and his footstep followers. In this illustration, Jesus is the head, while other parts of the body represent the various individual believers.
That would indicate that there is a very close association between Jesus and his true followers.
Indeed it does. And using this same illustration, Paul wrote that the Lord sets every member in the body as it pleases him.
Yes, I am familiar with that text, but just what does it mean?
Simply that divine providences, working out the will of God, are responsible for the position of service each one enjoys in the body of Christ. For example, there are the 12 apostles. These were chosen by Jesus after seeking his heavenly Father's direction in the matter.
It is evident, I think, that God's arrangement for his church was very simple and yet fully ample to carry out his designs.
Very true. These points are all set forth in detail, and the scriptural proof is given in the little book entitled The Church.
I'm glad to learn that, and I just hope that everyone sends for a copy. Now I would like to go back to another question asked in our letter, and that is there hope for salvation outside of church membership?
The full answer to that question can also be found in the little book entitled The Church. Answering it briefly, however, according to the Bible, countless millions will be saved from death who have not belonged to God's true church. Indeed, the opportunity of salvation will be extended to all mankind.
Do you mean that God will eventually bring everyone into the church?
No, the very meaning of the word church, that is, a called-out class, precludes that possibility. It would not be a called-out class if all became a part of it.
Well, that seems obvious, sure enough. But how can others be saved if they do not become part of the church?
The answer to that question is, in a way, contained in the meaning of the word church, which means a calling out or a selection.
In other words, an election.
Right. Now, when there is an election or a selection of a few, the purpose generally is that these are chosen to serve those not elected. So God's election of the church is that his promised blessings of life will flow out to mankind in general through these called out ones.
The calling out of the church will not, then, continue on forever and ever.
No, of course not. Jesus, referring to the great fact that he is the Christ, as expressed by Peter, said, "Upon this rock I will build my church."
Surely this building must one day be completed. I can see that.
Yes, and when it is completed, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
There is another text that I'm familiar with, but just what does it mean?
That is also explained in the little book, The Church. Briefly, the hell of the Bible means the condition of death. It is likened to a great prison house with gates, symbolic, of course. But the thought is that in God's due time, Jesus and this church, exalted to divine glory and power, will unlock the great prison house of death and set death's captives free. It is a glorious hope of resurrection for all mankind. Russell, will you tell our friends more about the little book which contains all these truths?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to do so. Friends, the church will be sent to you free if you ask for it. It proves from the Bible that the church of Christ is not a building. Rather, the church is the footstep followers of Jesus who are drawn to him by divine love. The church shows that water baptism is not designed to save people from eternal torture. Even the Bible does not even teach eternal torture. The church also proves that the Bible, that there is only one head to the true church, and that that head is Christ. And this little book, entitled The Church, shows what Jesus meant by the expression, the gates of hell, and how it is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It proves that there is a hope of salvation for the millions who are outside of the church, even for those who have died in unbelief. You are surely welcome to receive your copy of the little book entitled The Church. So send for it today. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Simply ask for The Church, and the little book will be sent to you free through the mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.